Hi, welcome to another episode of the Leadership Enigma. My word, I'm always blown away by the fact that I'm still doing this and I'm loving every moment of it and I'm excited for every single episode. Look, we're still trying to navigate a global pandemic. When will it go away? But one of the things that I think is true for all of us now, whether you're a senior leader, whether you're a frontline leader, whether you're thinking about leadership for the first time, is who are we as individuals? What will be our legacy? How do we look after ourselves? And we've got to look after ourselves before we even consider looking after other people and looking after our beloved organizations as well. Because when you stand in your truth, embrace what's in your heart, then you're free to do what you need to do. And with that, I need a little bit of help, and so do you, to understand exactly how we start to explore the spirit of leadership. So come back to me when we'll be chatting to Brian Prashand from Evolution Evolution. Yep. It's named Evolution Evolution. I got that right. Come back with me just after this.
During constant change, your leadership has never been more important to create a better and more inclusive world. You're listening to The Leadership Enigma, a podcast for the insatiably curious to explore the power of human-centered leadership to create real momentum for positive and sustainable change. Whether you're an entrepreneur, business owner, or corporate executive, each week, we speak to global experts, academics, rising stars, ambitious upstarts, and disruptors as we discover that success leaves clues. Now, here's your host, Adam Pacifico.
It's true. I am your host for today, Brian. Welcome to the Leadership Enigma. How are you?
I'm well, Adam. It's great to be here with you and your listeners.
Do you know what? We've chatted a number of times, and I think this episode has got to be titled, really, The Spirit of Leadership. And there's a number of reasons why I think it's got to be called that, but you'll guide me, won't you? So give the listeners a little bit of a background as to who you are and how we've got to this point, because everyone's story, I think, is just dynamite.
Yeah, thanks so much. And thanks for the opportunity to be here. So to understand what I do is to understand who I am. So I'll give you a quick snapshot of the life of Brian.
I love that. The life of Brian. You're thinking about the British listeners now.
Exactly. I figured it usually works. But you know, the life of Brian is the following. I'm actually American. I live in Toronto. After university, I went to the seminary to study to become a Catholic priest, which I did accomplish that. I was a priest for 8 years. 4 years I was in a big parish, and the last 4 years I was the private secretary to the cardinal from the Vatican.
Wow.
And obviously young, being groomed for a lot of leadership. I was his master of ceremonies. When he went to the Vatican to meet with the Pope, I was there. When we had diplomatic events, I was there present and running them. And then I got to a moment, and you know, I heard you use a quote that I often, it really is the foundation of who I am. When you stand in your truth and embrace what's in your heart, then you're free to do what you want to do. I really came to own my truth, that I wanted to love another person, that I wanted to stand in my truth as a gay man, and I wanted to bring my gifts out to the world in a new way. So I freely resigned, all in great terms.
Yep.
I went to Manhattan and began a whole new life as an executive and continued in that, became a partner in executive search. And then 2 years ago, just about 2 years ago, went out on my own to found Evolution Evolution.
So good. They named it twice. Evolution. Yeah, exactly. Tomato. We could have that discussion. Potato. There are so many things that I want to ask about just from that precy, really, because incredible courage is one of the first things I think comes to mind for you to have walked away from all of the study, all of the personal commitment, as you say, 8 years of your life devoted to being a priest. And then, as you say, as you stood in your truth in relation to who you were and what you wanted to be and who you wanted to be with and what you felt you could bring to other people, you left. Talk to me a little bit about that decision that you made. Was it an obvious and immediate one for you? Was it something you grappled with? Because leaders are always grappling with sometimes big, high-stakes decisions. This one was very personal to you. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think, you know, my story is only powerful as it helps others own their stories. And I'm sure there are many people who are listening that may be lawyers or maybe in other occupations that are feeling the same. Mine was just as a priest. And, you know, I talk about, it was a conscious change.
Right.
It wasn't a reaction. It wasn't like on a Tuesday morning, I was like, I'm so frustrated. This isn't the life I want. And I don't want to be part of this church. And I resigned on Wednesday. No, it's something that happened over a couple years. I was just in Boston last weekend, actually, to visit my mom. And there was one street in Boston I was walking down. And all of a sudden, it came back to me, a memory of walking down that street when I was working for the Cardinal. And I remember seeing these two couples come out of a restaurant at night. They had gone out to dinner. They were saying goodnight. And I remember looking at them and inside feeling, I want that. I want that sense of freedom. I want to be able to be with another person. I want to be able to live my life in a different way. And it took a couple of years from that moment to then make the change. But what happened is listening to that desire within, the desire that I wanted to move forward. And I eventually got to a moment that I realized that I had to look at it seriously. And I also needed to speak to one or two people in confidence and really look at it and be and kind of test the decision and make sure that I was really looking at it the right angles. And that was really critical.
Gotcha. Now, that also I find fascinating because they say that sometimes leadership is lonely for people. Mm-hmm. Who do they talk to? So at that point when, as you said, you were going through that process of consciously thinking about making the decision, you needed to test this. Mm-hmm. How did you know who to talk to, who to turn to, who to bring in and trust to what was a life-changing decision for you? Because, as you say, you left the priesthood and went in a different direction. So how did you go about knowing who you bring into that inner circle?
Sure. So I think one of the reasons I was so careful on that is, you know, I was high profile, you know, for the individual I worked with.
Yes.
And I also know that, you know, when you start sharing news about something you're thinking about, and when you're not 100% sure about it, sometimes people can have good intentions that they can start asking you questions. And it causes even more self-doubt. So what I did, I really held my cards close. Because it was, I really wanted to look at it. I went to go see someone. There was actually another priest that you go to that worked in a diocese. That if you were in a moment of, you were having a hard time, you know, let's say there was something that you needed to talk about. I went to him, I knew him as a friend. And I said to him, listen, I'm really struggling. I'm really thinking that I really would like to step away. And I'd like to work with someone neutral to kind of talk through this. Right. And I said, but I don't want anyone who's affiliated with the church. I want someone who's neutral. And he recommended this amazing Jewish psychologist. And it was the best thing because this man had no ties to the church. He was neutral. And he really, I worked with him for 9 months. And it was a great opportunity to kind of look at my decision to talk about different things that, you know, why I wanted to leave, but also some of the fears that I had, some of the things that were bubbling up that were holding me back a little bit. And there were only like three individuals outside of that person I spoke to who were just some very good trusted friends that gave me support. And that was my bubble. That was my bubble. It was almost like a pandemic. That was my like transition bubble.
I love the fact you say it was a Jewish psychologist, so you would have got a different lens certainly seen through. If I was talking to my improvisation friends from another episode, they probably have thought if you talk about a priest and a Jewish psychologist, that was the beginning of a beautiful joke.
Exactly.
So with this background, you are perfectly placed for us, I think, to talk about the spirit of leadership. And let me give you a little bit of my context and correct me, Brian, as we go. The pandemic, I'm finding in the work that I do with leaders across the world, has hit the reset button for everybody. Mm-hmm. And people are starting to reconsider the value proposition, what they enjoy, work-life balance, if that ever existed, family time, where they live, what they do. And so people are starting to look inward at themselves. Are they doing the right thing? Are they a force for good? What is that value proposition? So can you help us just understand what you mean by the spirit of leadership? Because I think this is incredibly relevant for everybody at the moment, ever more so because of what we've been going through as a world.
So one of the things that has happened with the pandemic is that it has brought forth within individuals that sense of, why am I here?
Yes.
You know, when you're quieted down, when you're not, you don't have the freedom to travel and to go out to meet people for drinks and, you know, to go to the movies and things, there's a lot of exposure. There's a lot of things that distract us. But with the pandemic and we've been quieted, that's where we get in touch with what's happening inside us. And that's what we're seeing. People are kind of, wow, there's kind of, people use the term like awakening.
Right.
And this desire for something else. So that inner work, that inner world is something that every human being has. There's that sense of intuition. There's that sense of purpose that wants to come out. There's that sense of wanting to be connected at a very deep level with ourselves, with our community, and for many with a sense of like the divine, a sense of being connected with a higher purpose. And so that is what's happening. That's why you hear so much about mindfulness.
Right.
That's why you hear so much about meditation, and people are changing careers. There's a deeper desire within that is coming forward, an awakening for more that aligns with who we are.
That's interesting you say that, because I've read some recent articles in Forbes, I think Microsoft have just on about 41 to 44% attrition rates. And one of the disruptive trends that's coming over the horizon, I think it's here, is that more people than ever are going to quit and do something else. Now, that is potentially catastrophic to some businesses and some sectors. But do you think at the heart of that is people, as you say, having this awakening where they are saying, well, who am I? What do I want to do? What makes me happy? And actually, it's not this. And so I'm going to control maybe the only thing I can control right now, my own destiny. I quit. I'm going to do something else.
I think it's a gift. I think it's a real gift. It's no different than sometimes when people are laid off from a job. I spoke to someone yesterday and he said, when I was told my job 5 years ago, I was being laid off, I actually hugged the HR person. He said, probably I shouldn't have done that. But he said, I was so excited for something that I didn't have the courage to do on my own to quit. I now had a door and a window to start what I wanted. So I think for many people, it's a gift. It's a gift to start seeing where they want to be and how they want to bring that together. Because, you know, that's the gift of where we're at. You know, we want to make the impact, and that's what's happening. More and more people want that, and they want to be aligned with what they desire and how they want to live joyfully. That's the bottom line.
You know, I had a funny conversation with a friend, you reminded me, who also, she quit her job, and she told her colleagues, and she said the overwhelming response she got was one of almost jealousy of, I wish I could do that. Why don't I do that? Wow, that's amazing. And that person, by the way, was a lawyer, and had the courage to walk out and do something completely different. And she said loads of people around her were kind of like, ooh, I want to do that too. So something's going on, isn't it? There is, maybe it's just the pandemic has magnified it. It's probably always been there. And the spirit of leadership, the spirit of self has always been important. But I suppose the pandemic has just done that. It's 10x'd it.
I think so. And, you know, just to kind of step away from that even a little bit more, you look at all the major like spiritual traditions in the world, from Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity, Judaism. There's always a teaching in all of them that only when we quiet ourselves are we able to hear what's happening inside. And I think, you know, just from a natural aspect, you know, the world was forced to be quieted during the pandemic. And that's when you start to hear, when you're by yourself or where things are at, okay, what's happening? So that's why there's such a movement right now, because the whole world was united in being quieted down.
I love the way you've explained that. Far better than I could, which is why I love doing these podcasts. So let me come back to the theme of the spirit of leadership and almost leading self. Can I link it to that? Can I link it to leading self?
Absolutely.
A lot of people talk about, well, I need to understand how I can do better with my team, or how I can lead this organization through and beyond the pandemic and then through the next crisis and challenge. Important, all of which. But there is this essential component of How do you lead and look after yourself? In fact, I've heard a phrase which I hadn't heard before, Brian, was called well-being leadership. Mm-hmm. And so what are your thoughts in relation to people now all over the world doing all kinds of things as regards this opportunity to now start to think about themselves and the spirit of leadership and the spirit of self? What are your thoughts for them?
Sure. So first of all, they need to congratulate themselves that they're being open to that. That's number one. Number two, that, you know, every single person is different, but, you know, by being well-being, you know, well-being leadership or, yes, you know, being on that is really about focusing on who you are, you know, who you are as a person. And it always goes back to a very simple question. And I alluded to this earlier, desire. What do I desire? When you ask yourself, what do I desire? Who do I desire to be? Where do I desire to bring this in the world? That will always lead you to the truth of what you're supposed to do. And that is number one, because so often we live in other people's expectations, right? Mm-hmm. You know, our parents wanted us to do this, or I have a massive mortgage. How could I change this? So we start living in this world of, oh, I can't do it. But no, when you ask yourself what you desire, that's number one, that will never lead you astray. It doesn't mean you have to know exactly what to do next, but you have to start to be open to that deeper desire within. That's the first step of the inner work.
I love that. So really answering that question in relation to desire, and I love the point you mentioned about you don't have to know what happens next, because I think then there's almost that panic, isn't it? I really desire X and Y, but I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to get
right there. Exactly.
I don't know how this works. And then before you know it, you're back in the moment and you're back to the humdrum of life, or as you say, you know, you're jumping to the beat of somebody else's drum again, and away you go. What are some of your thoughts in relation to how people can almost slowly start to get themselves ready for this exploration? So you talked about meditation, you talked about mindfulness. We've heard and we've seen many people talk about this, but what are your thoughts in relation to some of the practical things people can do to enhance this state of awareness?
Sure. So I'm all about keep it simple. Keep it simple. People get so over the top, like, oh my gosh, I have to like now become this major yoga person and I have to do 4 hours a day. No, it's ridiculous. You'll survive 3 days and you'll be done. Keep it simple. That's what I'm all about. So if you're desiring that, it's like that night when I was on the sidewalk, I had a sense I wanted something, but it was 2 years later until I took an actual step. What I recommend you do is, you know, if you don't have a practice of quieting yourself down on a regular basis, start. There's a wonderful app called Insight Timer. It's free and it connects you with millions of people around the world at the same time that are doing meditation. Guided meditations are available. You can do it for 2 minutes, 20 minutes, or an hour. By doing that every day, especially in the morning is the sacred time because our minds are clear and it's a great time. That do a little meditation, a guided one, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 minutes. And then I also recommend start keeping a journal. And people are like, oh, I hate journals. That's something like I've never wanted to do. But basically, if you start jotting down every day a couple of things that you're grateful for and paying attention to, even writing down about something that may have come to your mind during the meditation, something that you're looking to surrender, and you write that down every day, spend a couple minutes on it, it's a wonderful way to keep track of what's happening in the development. It's really powerful. The third thing I would certainly say that's really important is you don't have to do it alone. Like I said, there's the app and there's a lot online, but sometimes you do need to work with someone, whether it's, you know, a psychologist, whether it's someone like myself, whether it's, you know, being part of a group situation. Sometimes you just need to start exactly where you're at and gently start to unpack and also look at how you need to start to move forward and what that means for you.
Now, there's a lot of great advice here. And I was making notes as you were going, Brian, which is why you could see me. So keeping it simple, quieting yourself. Have I just made that phrase up? You talked about Insight Timer. Did I get that right?
Yes, that's right. Insight Timer is an app. It's free. It's incredible. And it's a great tool. I think to be honest with you, because someone has a big meditation practice, it's the best app. I'm not getting paid for this. I don't do anything on Insight Timer.
Yeah, you heard it here
no
first.
Connection. I'm just a user here. So it's really well done.
Okay. And did you find that your training and your experiences in the priesthood made you better at being able to quiet yourself than perhaps someone who hasn't been through that experience?
Yes, yes and no.
Okay.
Yes and no. There were certainly things with my training that I was, when I went from being a priest to then being in New York City, you know, especially I found when my training really helped was at board meetings or big meetings in New York. There was just a sense that intuitively I could just kind of tell if there was some other big drama about to happen, what was going on. I could tell if I just had a highly intuitive sense of the dynamics of the people around. That really helped serve me well.
Okay.
Really served me well in navigating complex environments. But it's something I've had to grow with. And it's something really, not until I developed the meditation practice and doing that, what I just shared with you every day, that has had a tremendous impact for me. A real impact about just calming and being much more focused on where I am. And so that's been something that's really been powerful.
Now, we all have experiences, don't we, which have in some ways shaped us, put us onto a different path. I've done a number of rather eclectic or even odd things in my life, which have brought me to this point. But you, before we went live, we were chatting and you mentioned Australia. And Australia had a big impact on you. Was that one of those moments where it shaped your destiny or you had an aha moment? Tell us a little bit about Australia.
Absolutely. So I decided to, I was a partner in executive recruitment and I was in that for 3 years. And that's when I made the decision. I'm like, you know what? I want to go out on my own. I want to bring my expertise together. Why am I making these people so much money when I can certainly build out on my own? And I think my ego was a little inflated, to be honest with you, Adam. When I left, I was like, oh, I'll get this up and running in no time. It's going to be a new model. And I was a hot mess. Like, it wasn't coming together. I kept hitting walls. I had this sense, I'm like, I have to get this up and running because everyone's waiting. Everyone's waiting to see this, you know? And so finally, I got some really sage advice from someone. And they told me, they said, Brian, give yourself more time. Your ego is the one that's causing this. And I was like, you know, very true. So I asked myself that question again, what do I desire? I desired at that moment to travel. And I knew that's what I wanted to do. I said, I desire to travel, go to a place I've never been. And I actually desired to do some type of like wellness retreat.
Okay.
So I ended up going to Australia. And I remember just finding this magnificent place called Gwinana in Queensland. And I did this 1 week wellness detox retreat. And my intention going in there was not only to enjoy every aspect of what was being offered on that, but to really have clarity about what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm feeling blocked. Like, what the hell is going on? And so when I was on the retreat, there was a session available if you wanted to do it with one-on-one. It was kind of like someone's like an energy healer, kind of like a Reiki kind of type thing. I'd never done it. But it was positioned as a sense of like, if you're feeling blocked and making decisions, I'm like, well, sign me up for that. So I went to that and I remember going in and met with this amazing woman. She was originally from Ireland. And within like 5 minutes, I told her kind of my whole life story. And then all of a sudden I'm like laying down and, you know, she's doing her Reiki thing. And I remember in my mind thinking, if anyone from the Vatican could see me here doing this now, like, I'd be like, you
if
know,
they but could I'm see like, me now.
Yeah, totally. Like, this is just, but I'm like, you know what? This is all good.
Yeah.
When all of a sudden she said to me, Brian, in two areas, I really feel a sense of the divine with you. Does that resonate? And I'm like, yeah, it does. And then I kind of shared why. And as I was laying there in quiet and different things, that's what the blockage was. When I left the priesthood, I never hid that I was a priest or anything like that, but I pushed down that kind of spiritual side of me and to prove that I could be this executive and do these things.
Right.
But really, I had to embrace that side of me, that those gifts, that ability to help others find their purpose, to align themselves, to kind of bring things together, is a huge part of who I am and being a leader. And that was the clarity. It was this intense moment of warmth, peace. And that's the clarity I got. And I knew when I walked out of that room what my purpose was moving forward. And so working with me, there is a sense of, you know, I really do take that sense, the importance of breath work, the importance of being mindful, and how that relates to your leadership. And I spent a lot of time with CEOs and, you know, people who are new to leadership to say, great, you want to make $1 million this year? Fantastic. But only when you're connected inwardly with your purpose, your spirit, are you going to be able to have the clarity, the confidence, and the courage to be able to do it with authenticity.
I think we all probably, don't we, in some ways, crave that moment of clarity, especially when we're in this volatile, you know, an uncertain, complex, and ambiguous world.
Absolutely.
For sure. In some ways, you're ahead of me, because I was going to say to you, tell us a little bit about the work you're doing and the results it's bringing, so that leaders and listeners can understand the benefits of this as well, from a leading self point of view, but also how that maybe manifests itself in their abilities when they're externally facing too.
Totally. So one of the things I love, so I have three areas I work on.
Okay.
So there's one-on-one coaching, mentoring, then I work with organizations as well and teams, and then there's a lot of my seminars and speaking, et cetera. So I'll focus on the one-on-one work. So I work with professional leaders. A lot of them are sometimes new CEOs or they're in a significant leadership role. And I remember being hired by this one former CEO of a $1 billion company, and she wanted to go out on her own to start another one. And she was interviewing me and she said to me, she said, what's the difference if I work with you than with some of the bigger firms that I know? And I said, it's really easy. There's two things. One, I'm not afraid to shine a light on what you need to take a look at.
Right.
As a CEO and a leader, people say yes to you a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not afraid in a respectful way to really say and shine what you need to hear and receive for your growth. And number two, I take an approach that no matter what your business goals are and what you're seeking to achieve, only when you are taking the time inwardly are you going to be able to achieve that. So I begin every one of my sessions with all my executives. We begin with a grounding exercise. I actually teach them a breathing exercise every single session. So we begin with some breathing, and those techniques help them reduce anxiety and also teaches them within seconds how to transform, if they're even at a board meeting, how to get away from like a fearful or flight moment and be fully present and in tune with their at. Right. And that's how we begin our process. One of the things I do is, you know, we really look at their presence. I tell every leader, your presence and who you are, the energy you bring, is like that stone that's tossed into a pond. It has massive ripple and energy effects. And so those are some of the things we focus on right away. And I'm all about, you know, if you're looking to make a change, fantastic. But let's go deeper about what's the desire, why do you want to do that, and what are some of the small steps you can take now and every day moving forward to achieve that.
Now, Brian, is there something we can share with the listeners, a little takeaway? I did an episode with Tom Middleton, who was was a big DJ in his time. Oh. Played to huge audiences, and now he's very much in relation to sleep and breathonics. And we did an episode on breathing and the importance of it. But is it, what would you like? Let's share something. Come on, with the listeners, something that you feel that they could listen to now, and they could actually transfer it and use it almost immediately. What can we share?
Absolutely. So let's say you're about to go into a big meeting mm-hmm. or you're in between Zoom after Zoom after Zoom after Zoom.
I'm in between podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. You know, basically what you can do is you just put both feet on the floor.
Okay.
You place your hand.
I'm doing this now.
Yeah, you place both feet on the floor. You put your hands over your heart.
Okay. Both hands?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. Gotcha.
Both hands over your heart. Close your eyes. Mm-hmm. And you just be silent, literally for a couple seconds to listen to the noise that might be inside your room or outside. And then when you're ready, you take a deep breath, heel in for 4 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold it for 7. And slowly exhale for 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And one last time, take a deep breath in for 4. Hold. And slowly exhale out. And after you've done that a few times, you can notice your energy just get quieter. And it's the 4-7-8 method. Breathe in for 4, hold, and exhale. One of the great things about that is you can do it privately, but you can also do it if you're in a meeting and someone starts going crazy or someone and there's a tension and they're just, or there's something going on. Quietly, no one needs to know. You can just simply just listen, but just breathe in. And just open your mouth a little bit or breathe through your nose and exhale. And just by doing that and counting inwardly, no one knows you're doing it. You'll notice your stress, the anxiety go down and more present. That's the inner work. That's the inner work of being attuned as a leader. Because that presence by doing that will give you the clarity, give you the peace, and remove you from reacting to truly being there as a leader with intention.
Well, there we go. That's a wonderful little gift for all of our listeners, isn't it? I'm hoping it will be the podcast that keeps on giving for sure. Brian, how can people get in touch with you if they want to continue the conversation, find out more? So best way.
Absolutely. I welcome to hear from anybody. I love connecting. Best way, LinkedIn, yep. Super active there. Connect with me on LinkedIn. Send me a message. Say that you heard this conversation on Adam's podcast and you will hear from me usually the same day. You can also connect through my website, which is going through an evolution to be all updated, but it's www.evolutionevolution.com. You can send a message there. And those are the two best ways. And there's a lot more in the works, a lot more being developed, but I love to hear from anybody.
This is absolutely great, isn't it? I appreciate that. And I've got a final question. So, and maybe it's an unfair question. In fact, I'm intrigued as to what you're going to say for this one is, what's the best piece of leadership advice you think you've ever received or given?
Best advice I've ever been given is from a former boss that told me, Brian, own it. Simple. Own it. I was brand new in this one role. I was executive director. It was a huge portfolio, millions and millions and millions next to my name that I had to bring in. And I remember having a meeting with her and it was saying, well, this is taking a little bit longer in this. And she looked at me and she said, I'm going to give you a little piece of advice. Just own it. Own the entire portfolio, the goods, the challenges and everything. And you know, it was the best advice I ever got because we can often make excuses because we want everything to be portrayed a certain way or think, oh, in case it goes wrong, at least you understand why. She just said, own it. And you know what? When we own who we are, when we own what we're about, it gives us the confidence to move forward. And that's the best piece of advice I give to anybody right now. If you're in a moment of thinking, wow, I desire something more. I'm not even sure that is, own it. Own it to yourself and say, you know what? I don't know all the answers, but I'm going to own that I want something more. It will always lead you forward and give you the confidence and the peace to move forward.
Wow, what a lovely way to finish this particular episode. Brian, you've been an absolute superstar. I hope you've enjoyed our virtual chat for the Leadership Enigma.
Love it. I love it. I look forward to coming in person sometime.
Oh, well, me too. We've spoken about that before. So as soon as we can actually get on planes, trains, and automobiles, the better. The hybrid world, the virtual world, let's get back to some human proximity as well. You've been an absolute superstar. We'll connect again. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you. Join us again next week for more tips and strategies on the Leadership Enigma. We'd love to hear your comments on today's show, as well as suggestions for future topics and guests. Get in touch with your host on LinkedIn or our YouTube channel. And remember to get your daily learning to build success at www.insights.emeritus.org. Download the Insights app and start learning for free. Please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on all your major podcast platforms. Thanks for listening.